Hey, I'm Elle Gray, and welcome back to the Key of E podcast. Today, I have a very special guest. We have John. Say hi, John.
Hello, John. Wait, just kidding. Hey, how's everybody doing?
Okay, do you want to tell us what your experience is with microphones? Because you are often in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
I've been recorded.
Yep. I've been doing on-air radio DJ work for close to 25 years now.
Wow. Jeez, yep. Really?
Started nice. Right after college, which kind of dates me, I guess. But but on and off in cities like Miami and Charlotte, North Carolina, have done radio in all kinds of formats, done a lot of top 40,
nice.
Have done adult contemporary, which is kind of like the stuff that you might listen to at work, but also nice. they kind of pepper in some popular stuff too.
Yeah.
Have done country radio, have done urban radio.
Nice.
And right now I'm on a radio station that's kind of AC, which is adult contemporary. So it's
nice.
Like, we'll play a lot of Taylor Swift, but then mix in like an old Fall Out Boy song or even like a Bruce Springsteen or Billy Joel or something like that. They'll do like one or two of those an hour, but mostly it's like top 40 stuff. So
a
lot of radio, a lot of on-air work, a lot of showing up at car dealerships and standing next to the like big balloon guy that flops around for two hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So basically, paid to talk.
Nice. Is that something that you knew that you wanted to do like whenever you were younger, or did you even like realize that that was an opportunity or an idea?
I had no
idea.
And I wished I would have known because I didn't get in until I was like 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I didn't even know it was a job. Like, I didn't know that it was like a job that you could walk in and just apply for.
Yeah.
And truthfully, it really isn't. You kind of got to, you kind of got to know that that's what you want to do, and then you can work towards it. And once you work towards it, it's very easy to get into it. But no, had no idea. Came out of college and thought, you know what? I'm going to do journalism because I know I like to talk and I know I can write well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was required that you do an internship.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to graduate, you had to do like, you know, you had to get, you know, 6 months or a couple, you know, few weeks of an internship. And I was like, well, I'll go work at this AM radio station because I'm pretty sure that they need, you know, people to write the copy and all this other stuff. Little did I know that like nobody really writes copy anymore.
Yeah.
They just get it from like the Newswire, the AP News. But I had no idea. I was like, you know, this, you know, 22, 23 year old kid.
Yeah.
And when I walked in there and I was like, oh my gosh, because the AM station was next to the top 40 pop stations and they're all in the same building.
Right.
And I didn't get hired at the AM station. I got an internship at the pop station and they still let me, you know, have my internship credit for it. And then I was like, all right, I'm never quitting this job. I don't care about graduating college.
Right.
I don't care about anything. I just want to do this job. Like, this is so much fun. Like, basically just like getting to talk about music and movies and stuff like that all, you know, for 4 hours every day.
Yeah.
So when my internship was over, I begged them not to let me go. So I said, so they used to sneak me in the back door once the show started.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. And then until like the corporate office found out, then they had to hire me. But of course they were going to work me for free as long as they could.
Sure.
But yeah, I had no idea that it was a job. And people that had been more successful than me, they knew at like 18 years old, like Ryan Seacrest knew at 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if I had known, then I would have been 16 year old, you know, John would have been like outside the radio station,
right?
Like begging like, hey, listen, let me wash cars or something. Cause then I would have known, you know, to get in earlier and stuff like that. But, but definitely, what a cool, like eye-opening experience once that did happen. And I could, you know, just be around everything that I loved all the time. I never wanted to stop doing it. Plus, you get free tickets to concerts. You get, like, you get to meet cool people. Like, it was just the best job ever.
Yeah.
And I still do it, like, from time to time now. Like, I'm still doing it, like, on the weekends and stuff like that. But, you know, once in a while, Peter Pan has to leave Neverland and go be a grown-up.
True. Yeah, I think that's a really cool... I wish that everybody got to have that, like, reassuring experience of... like this like spotlight comes down on you and you're like, this is what I'm supposed to do. Because I can't explain that to people, but like anytime that I get to be around music, like I have no doubts in my mind that this is like what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. Not even specifically, but just something with music. And I wish everybody could have that moment where they're like, wow, I'm in the right place at the right time. This is what I'm supposed to be doing with all my time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really special that you got just to have that.
Yeah, it's also amazing that, like, you didn't know that world existed.
Exactly. Like you had no idea.
Yeah, like, you know you love to sing, but then, you know, maybe you walk into an environment, you're like, holy cow, I get to sing here? Or,
exactly.
Or these people need music or whatever. It's like, that's the thing. Like, yeah, I know I talk a lot, but, like, wow, you're going to pay me to talk?
Right,
like, this
exactly.
This is so cool. I didn't think this was a thing. And, you know, radio, TV, movies are always, like, things that you feel like are unattainable. Mm-hmm. You know, and so
it's true.
To know that you could just, like, be a kid off the street with no real experience and do something for 25 plus years is pretty cool.
It's true, because I think a lot of people think, like, oh, I have to know somebody, I have to have, like, connections to this person, and then that's how I can get into the industry. But mm-hmm. It's like, I just feel like it really does, and it might be a little bit of that too, but it really does come down to your work ethic. Mm-hmm. I think, in my opinion,
and
but,
right place at the right time.
Oh, totally.
It never hurts to
totally,
but definitely you don't always have to know the right person.
No.
And also just not willing to quit, you know?
Exactly.
Just like, pay me for free, I'll sneak in the back door.
Yeah, take any opportunity I can get.
Or, like, in your case, like, I'll sing at your bar mitzvah if you need
to.
Just
for
put
real.
Me in front of some people.
Yeah.
But then I was like, all right, well, I want to be on the air. So then you can create these demo tapes, which basically you just get songs and you go into studio and you just, like, kind of record, like, you just play the song and then record your voice and make it sound like you're live on the air, but you've never actually been live on the air.
Right.
And then you just submit it to the PD, which is the program director, and you say, hey, here's my air check. And he'll say, okay, I like this, I like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk too much, or here's, you could have said the same thing, but you could have said it in 25 less words or whatever, right? So then you just kind of hone your skill. And I think after about 2 months of just handing in air checks, like, once a week, he was like, all right, we'll give you the overnight shift. So I started working, like, midnights to, like, 6 a.m. where you can get better and you can be on the radio live, but, like, there isn't a million people listening to your mess ups.
Yeah.
And then after that, I started doing weekends. And then after that, I moved on to doing my own night show. And then luckily, I grew up just talking a lot, so it was just easy. I just had to figure out how to say less or say more, but with less, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And then also, you get really talented at talking really quickly and being able to enunciate, like, because if you're, you know, you only have a 10-second intro you've got to talk over, but you, but you're required to talk about this, you know, event you're doing with the local Habitat for Humanity, but you've got 10 seconds to say it. It's required, but
you have to make it impactful.
You have to make
still.
It and you have to make sense, and you have to, and you can't jumble your words.
Right.
So you get very good at, like, enunciating and speaking very clearly, but doing it quickly, which comes in handy in real life too, because I can talk really fast and say what I want to say, and then and then, you know, still give time for other people to talk. So no real training, just kind of just grew up talking,
getting
a lot,
getting better over time,
and then
figuring
just,
it out.
Yeah, I think the real thing that you have to practice hard is just staying current with, like, you know, popular culture and current events. Like, that's the real important thing, because, you know, that's where you can really tell a DJ if they're good or not, if they just sound stale or they're reading a liner or something like that. So I make a lot of effort to stay current on what's cool right now.
Do you feel like you have your radio voice and then you're just, like, normal talking voice, or do you feel like it's kind of the same?
No, there's definitely a difference.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely a difference. Like, you know, you'll get feedback in your, like, air check meetings that you need to sound like you're smiling, which is kind of weird, you know, to sound like you're smiling, but basically it's just a, you know, a very upbeat way of presenting things. So, you know, you might say, like, hey, what's going on today? It's Hurley.
Yeah.
I'm just hanging out here in the station. Give me a call, 766, blah, blah, blah. You know, I got Taylor Swift coming up, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it's like your voice kicks into, like, maybe second gear, and you kind of sound energetic, and but then, you know, you might play a sad song, and so you don't want to be that guy, so you're like, you know, that was Evanescence and this is Hurley and I'm hanging out with you today, and blah blah blah. So, like, you know, it's just like, well, I think it's just like having, and the way I've always approached it is, like, I pretend when I'm on the radio that I'm just talking to one person,
because it makes it more personal, I think. And if you just, it just, if it feels like a conversation, and I think even with, like, podcasts that I listen to, I like when it feels like a conversation, except I don't even have to say anything. I could just sit there and listen. I think that's,
podcasts are very interesting to me, because
I agree,
podcasts are different than being on the radio because the music kind of, you know, sets the tone for how you sound. Like, if you're just, like, a podcast is definitely just a conversation between two friends
or two
strangers who are getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the radio, I feel like with the music, like, you come off of, like, a Beyonce song and then you're, like, pumped, you know?
Exactly.
Or you come off of an Adele song and you're like, eh, I'm kind of moody right now,
you know?
I'm in my feels. So I feel like that kind of dictates how you sound. But I do think the best DJs are the ones that sound like their authentic self instead of like those really cliche, like, hey, how you doing? You know,
like, you're like, you don't talk like that to your kids
and
at home.
And this is cheesy. And like, now you're just trying to sound cool. Like, I've always loved like the Carson Dailies and, you know, and the Ryan Seacrest. And then a lot of the best DJs are the guys that are just like, they sound like they could be, you know, hanging out with you at a restaurant or something like that.
So exactly.
I try and do that. I don't have as much practice and I'm not nearly as good as some of these guys, but you know, it's all basically just, and it's again, being comfortable with, with who you are, how you sound, not trying to pretend. And then, you know, it does help if you kind of figure out what you want to say before the break comes up. If you're trying to script it, like, you're going to fumble over your words, you're going to do things. I think, you know, you got to kind of know what you want to say before you say it, you know?
Like, if you didn't have the song, would it be a little bit more stressful?
It would be. And to tell you a little behind the scenes thing, we don't actually get to decide where we talk.
So
there's a program director and actually a music director that, that lays out the music that you're listening to. So, you know, I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but when you call in and you ask for Taylor Swift, Cruel Summer, and I tell you, great, I'm going to get it on next, Ella. Like, I have no idea if it's coming on. I mean, I can scroll down and everything's like an iPod now. So, like, I can scroll down and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get it on for you in 20 minutes because I know it's coming on in 20 minutes. So by that same rule, I don't get to decide where I'm going to talk. So I will plan my breaks out exactly like you're saying. So like if I know that it's the top of the hour, so it's a brand new hour. So I'm going to say in this first break, I got 15 seconds. So I'm going to tell you everything I got coming up. Hey, I got tickets coming up to AJR. You know, I'm also going to play your favorite Taylor Swift song and then, you know, taking all your requests, blah, blah, blah. And then the next, then I'll look and be like, all right, I got three songs until I talk again. That song's actually, you know, Selena Gomez. Let me talk about her documentary that was on Disney Plus or something. So I try and go through my hour and plan out what I'm going to do. But definitely the song dictates what I want to talk about, because generally I like to tie in what I'm talking about to the artist. And then also, depending on how long the song is or what's going on in the city, if there's a soccer game or an event. But yeah, having those songs in between is vital, I think, because I mean, honestly, I can't come up with that much cool content. So I need those breaks every now and then.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, so sometimes I'm happy we have commercials and other times I'm like, this is so boring. I don't want to sit here for 10 minutes and wait to talk again, you know?
Yeah.
Because on the other side of it, like, I'm just playing on my phone. I'm waiting to talk. There's nothing to really do. Maybe if it's a weekend, I can watch a football game in between. But otherwise, I'm, you know, and then the other thing is, like, I hear the same, like, 25 songs over and over again.
I was just about
to
say that. Do you turn them down? Because I know you have, like, the ability to just kind of make them, or are you ever just, like, jamming?
I jam out. I have so many videos on my phone that I send my wife of me just, like, the, yeah, so I still have a lot. And then on top of it, like, I have my headphones on, so I turn it up. So it's, like, it's, like, the best version of sitting in your bedroom.
Which, what does TikTok do to the top 40? Because I feel like if I scroll through, like, the Billboard charts, it's a ton of TikTok songs. So do you feel like TikTok has affected what the radio is playing?
It absolutely has. And not in the original TikTok way, but like if something becomes like a TikTok dance. So if there's something that like the last one I remember was like Billy Joel's like Vienna.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, like it became a thing where everyone had to do their version of Billy Joel's Vienna. And so then for a little bit, we were playing Billy Joel on there.
Yeah.
You know? So like if a song comes back and it starts to kind of shape pop culture, then of course we're going to put it on the radio.
You know? The same thing happened with Kate Bush with Running Up That Hill.
Absolutely. That one was
Stranger
huge.
I love her.
I was happy
for
that one.
I have loved her. Yeah. I know. I'm like, finally. Like, it's just so crazy how, like, because the what is their names? Crap. What is it? The Duffer Brothers?
The ones that did Stranger Things?
Yes. Yeah. They gave, they had a big platform and they're like, we love this song. We're going to make, and then they, I'm sure she's made a ton of
she's
money and got
so
much
more money on that song than she did when it first came out.
Exactly. And it's a great song.
Yeah. So things like that are excellent versions of how pop culture, TikTok, whatever the case may be, like, can impact good music.
And like even like I've noticed like so many people, like I've known about like Noah Kahan for like forever, but like because of Stick Season now he's like super popular because of TikTok. And I think even same with Macy Peters with Kate's brother. Like everybody loved that song and it was trending on TikTok, and I'm like, if this is what it takes for these musicians to get their music out there, that's awesome. But then of course with every good thing there's an equal and opposite bad thing also that comes out of it.
Right, so the Noah Kahans of the world, they excite me. You know, the Maisie Peters of the world excite
me.
I mean, you and I are both huge Taylor Swift fans.
Yeah.
You know, say what you will about Taylor Swift, but that woman, that lady, she worked her butt off to get there. She writes every song herself. Mm-hmm. She doesn't, you know, phone it in. She doesn't have people write them for her. So, you know, she's as big as they get right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can attribute that to anything but her hard work, her putting herself in every position she can put herself in, you know, professionally to try and get her music out there. Yeah. She didn't play on anybody's, you know, favorite. She wasn't, she wasn't connected. I mean, her dad wasn't a music exec. He was a lawyer, you know, like, so like she got there not because, you know, her dad was famous or her brother was famous or she knew somebody, or, you know, she lived next door to this record guy. She left her home in Philadelphia, moved to Nashville, ran up and down the street, handing out free records, sat in writer's circles until she, you know, got good at her craft. You know, and then, I mean, the first time I met her, saw her, she was opening for Rascal Flatts. Nobody even knew who she was. You know, she didn't shoot to stardom on American Idol, you know, like,
what year was that?
2008.
Dang.
Yep. So I've been following.
So you're Taylor a day one, Tay one.
I am day one, Tay one. I am there since before she had an album.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And that's so awesome. I watched her when she was just this like quiet little person, and she didn't
with the curls
and she would just be like so thankful that you would come and see her and talk to her and listen to her music. She'd come to radio stations and just be so, she'd bring you cookies and be so excited that like you guys were willing to just talk to her. And so again, like there was no American Idol, there was no TikTok, there was MySpace, where you could maybe put your song out there and tap play and make it your top five or whatever we used to do back then. But that was it. Like that was the extent of social media. And maybe we ripped a few songs and we stole a few songs and we passed them around and told, hey, check out this, this new girl in country music. But that was it, man. There was no algorithms as far as I remember, you know? So when you made it, you made it, you know? And before that, like all of the bands that your mom grew up with and my, we grew up with, like, no, it was just hard work and, and living out of a van for a while, you know? So,
You got to do what you got to do.
So I respect those people. I think it's a different musical world, but it's a great world for someone like you.
It's true.
You know, this opens a lot more doors than, it would have been available to you before.
Have you been to every Taylor Swift tour?
I only missed one tour.
Which was?
1989. I know. My wife went to that one, so I heard all about it. But that was about when our son was really young and one of us had to stay home. Yeah, that's so fair. I remember not being able to go because we just didn't have anyone to watch Ryan. So,
that's
but yeah, we were even at the tours before there were tours. So we were at the Rascal Flatts one, and that was not her. And then I think we saw her again when she did with Brad Paisley. And then since then we were on, I think the first real tour she went on was the Fearless tour. So then we saw her do Fearless, and then that was just like an amphitheater. That wasn't even like a huge stadium. And then what was after that?
Speak Now.
I think we did see that tour. I don't remember where we sat for that one. Then Red, we were down low. We were like in her little pit. And then there was 1989.
And then Rep.
And then Rep, we were in Atlanta for that one on the floor. That one was awesome because she did the two backstages. So we've seen them all. And then we just saw her. We had Loverfest, but that got canceled because of COVID. So we got our refund. And then we just saw her in Boston at Gillette for the Eras.
Eras. Do you want to share what your surprise songs were?
You'll have to remind me again, but I think it was Babe. Because I know you're like...
Or no, it was Better Man.
Better Man.
Better Man.
You're the encyclopedia of the songs because you were even watching them live.
I was. And then, I remember I was so mad when they were there.
And then what else was
Should've
it?
Should've Said No.
Yeah.
I was watching the live stream and I was like, dang it.
Yeah, I was excited for Should've Said No. I was excited for every single song she played,
because you got a debut song. I didn't. And no, that's not
why,
a lot of people
That's why I was excited about it, because the build-up to that one when she was kind of telling everybody, she was like... You know, talking about when she first started and stuff like that. And I love the origin story.
Me too.
So yeah, Should've Said No. It's just, it's a great one because Taylor even recognizes, like, that's kind of the one where she said she feels like most like a rock star because she gets to throw her hair around. So, and then she did it in the show and she was still throwing her hair around and having fun. And then she moved over to the piano and did Better Man, which is kind of a somber, sad one, but still really great. We didn't get the rain night, which would have been really good to have that song in a rain, but but it was cold in Boston, so I'm glad it didn't rain.
Do you think that your voice has changed over the years since you started having a career in talking? Like, do you think if you listened to a recording of yourself back in the day, you'd be like, whoa, I've like evolved?
I think that I've gotten better, but no, my voice...
I would think so.
Yeah, sonically, I don't think my voice has changed at all. I think it sounds the same, but definitely, like, when I listen to old air checks or old, like, like breaks of me and stuff like that. Like, I'm like, holy cow, what a dork. Yeah. Like, you know, just the things that I said or like I thought was cool. Or then I'll see like, I have a lot of pictures of like celebrities I've met and like the way I look, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I want to post that picture, but how stupid do I look? Like, I was coming up in like the trucker hat. Like,
but everybody probably was though.
Yeah.
Nobody looks at old pictures.
I had the big Von Dutch trucker hat. Yeah. I used to turn it sideways a little bit. I was like, stupid.
But, yeah.
But no, like I think professionally and radio wise, I've sound the same, but I've gotten better. And also like, we all get better. So we all kind of grow into ourselves. But no, I don't think my voice got any more pitchier or anything
like that.
But definitely cringy to listen to the to the old stuff. You know?
I'm sure. Do you have a favorite, I guess, how do I even explain this, voice to listen to? Like any radio host that you've heard or any like actor, like voice actor that you like really like, because I feel like everybody knows, like if you hear Ryan Seacrest talk, like, you know that that's him. Like there's so many distinguished voices.
So two people.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people probably
Okay, I figured you would.
So like, I like HBO's Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
I forget what his name is.
But I couldn't tell you.
He's a famous actor. Most people don't realize that he's also the voice of the Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
His voice sounds completely different on that than it does like in movies and stuff like that. And then Delilah, who used to do like love songs. It's like a long time ago. She had a radio show. Her voice was just so calming and smooth.
I love that.
And she used to do a radio show like at nights, and it would be like, these are love songs with Delilah. And you could call in and do you could call in and do requests.
I love that.
But her voice was just like, it just made you feel like safe and warm and like relaxed you all at the same time. So
I love
you
know.
And then of course I like Howard Stern. His voice is like nasally and
it's, but it's different. It's unique.
Yeah. And but I think I just like the arrogance and the confidence in his voice. So like he doesn't have a unique radio voice, but I mean you could pick Howard out anywhere, but
it's true.
But I do like his voice. Otherwise I think you know, all the most famous DJs, they just, they sound a little bit different than each other, but they all sound the same too. You know?
I get that. I totally get that. Especially like the cadence. There's a very specific cadence that I think a lot of radio people have in my opinion.
Like in Texas out here, you guys used to have a fella named Kid Craddock.
Oh,
yep.
Fly high.
Yep.
King.
So, yep. He was really, really good, but
he was really good.
You know, I think he at some points would talk really, really fast and stuff like that. And
it's
then,
true.
But yeah, I mean, it's like crazy. That show, he was a very good radio DJ too, clearly.
I agree. Yeah. What genre of music do you think that you listen to the most? Because I know that at work you're having to listen to what's popular and popular songs, but whenever you're on your own, what do you listen to the most?
I would say probably singer-songwriter or folk music.
Great.
Yep. So some of my favorite artists right now would be like, I like Matt Nathanson.
Yeah.
I like Taylor's folkier albums like Evermore, Folklore.
Yeah.
I like a lot of old, you know, 60s and 70s like Kris Kristofferson and Simon and Garfunkel, those kind of things. So yeah, I would say like, you know, give me an acoustic guitar, Ed Sheeran, his Plus album, any of that stuff. Give me an acoustic guitar and a microphone and I'm in heaven.
Did you listen to Ed's new album?
I did.
It's pretty good. It's very Aaron Dessner.
You can see the influences.
Oh,
I was not disappointed, but when he said somebody asked him on and asked me anything, like, what's this album closest to? And he said Plus, and then I listened to it, and I don't think it's a Plus album.
But I don't really know. It's just different.
It's great. I mean, everything he puts out is great. And I love that he can
call it. He's a great lyricist.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
And he draws influence from like his friends on this album. Like his song supposedly is written about a different friend.
Yeah.
And that he can just do that. And then it's not like contrived or sounds junky. It sounds like they're really good songs. Like, like, you know, even the best songwriter, you know, would have a hard time doing what he's done. He does.
True.
But yeah, so he's like one of my favorites. I've been on the Ed Sheeran wagon as long as I've probably been on the Taylor Swift wagon.
Yeah. Do you think that what you listen to now reflects what you listened to whenever you grew up? Like, what kind of music did you listen to in your teens and 20s?
I feel like I was still in this kind of vibe even when I was younger, but I was influenced by a lot of stuff that was going on culturally too. So I was into like Nirvana big time and Stone Temple Pilots and like the grunge alt rock movement. And then also in this like tiny little town in Florida that I grew up in that had very little to no like hip hop or urban influence. Like I really like love that culture too. And so I grabbed onto that. So there was Wu-Tang Clan and Nas and Goody Mob and Outkast and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like I've always, I've always seen myself as somebody who loves music in general. Mm-hmm. And if it's melodic, then I can get into it, right? Yeah. So they're like hip hop, you know, was a lot of sampled beats and, you know, and so I like that. And then there was folk music and then, you know, alt rock for the most part was melodic.
Yeah.
The only thing I can't get into is like metal. Like I just don't love where it's thrashing and it's just so like electronic and bass heavy.
You've
and
gotta
I just
be in a mood. It's, it's even a lot for me. I say I like every genre except for I can't really get into country, but
I love country.
Like, do you really?
Yeah. So I love country. I love, but see, I like the older country.
I was like, okay. See, yeah, that's
to me,
different.
Like to me, this country that they're producing country. Now, this is not country
music.
This is
music, country man. Pop. I can appreciate it. It's just not for me.
No, give me old fashioned Tim McGraw. Give me old fashioned, you know,
George
like
Strait.
George Strait, Garth Brooks, Trisha Yearwood, Shania Twain. Like I like them. You know, like I, you know, some of the best concerts I went to were Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw, and you know, I saw Darius Rucker's show. I saw Brad Paisley. Like those were great shows. Now I like. It would be hard to get me to a country concert now. Like I just there's nobody that's impressing me right now. Like
Weird time for country.
Yeah. So, but I still like country music. Like I've even tried Morgan Wallen and I'm like, nope, can't do this dude. Sorry. Like I've tried because everybody's talking about Morgan Wallen. So like, let me try him out. You know, I know here in Texas, country music's probably a thing. So
it's everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, in the Carolinas where I'm from, it definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
But no, so like I can't really do metal at all. Yeah. Like I don't care what mood
I'm
in.
It's a lot.
Yep. And I don't know if I've ever been a jazz fan.
It's
I don't like
a lot.
Classical music.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like I like pop music.
Yeah.
I like, you know, emo. I like, you know, alternative, folk, all that stuff. Easy listening, elevator music. I don't care. I can get into it all.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yes, to answer your question, long story longer, that I don't think my tastes have changed all that much. I've filtered in some stuff. And even now I still listen to rap and stuff like that. But and even country. But I think it's more specifically like just singer, songwriter, acoustic music, you know, the Avett Brothers, stuff like that now.
Yeah, totally. I totally get it. It's just easy to listen to.
Mm-hmm. It fits my vibe because I'm kind of I like sad songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want songs that move me. I like party anthems, make me dance and stuff like that. They're fun.
Yeah.
But I like to feel things, which is why I love Taylor Swift because even her
so
fun poppy songs still make you think like, oh, that hit me right in the heart.
Yes, because
you know?
Even her most glitter gel pen songs are like, kind of slap you in the face and you're like, oh man.
Mm-hmm. And Phoebe Bridgers is amazing because she sings these songs that sound like they could be happy, but then they never are. So it's like, right. And then she has other ones like Funeral that are just like, okay, like there's nothing to understand about this song except for I'm just going to be sad. Yeah. But I do love the ones where it's like, wait, am I supposed to be happy listening to this? Wait, no, this can't be a happy song.
Like I see you in Kyoto. I'm like, I want to cry, but I like want to dance.
Yeah, Kyoto's a great one.
I'm dancing, but I'm sobbing.
Yeah,
that's the best time to dance when you're really sad.
Yeah, those are my jams. Is those sad songs that are like singer songwritery?
Yeah, me and my dad always say that a good song is a song that makes you feel something, and not even like because there's songs that make me feel annoyed, but like it makes you feel a deeper emotion that only music can bring out of you because obviously music is really powerful in that way. But yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally get where you're coming from. Do you have a favorite album in general? Well, first, you said your favorite Taylor Swift album is Red.
Red.
Is that your favorite album ever?
My favorite album ever? This is a
tough
question.
It's a very tough question.
Okay, Jagged Little Pill has to be on there.
Iconic.
All right, top five has to be Jagged Little Pill. Okay.
Iconic.
There's so many albums that just like, they bookmark moments in your life.
That's so true.
Like I'm scrolling through and like Wide Open Spaces from the Dixie Chicks or the Chicks, right? Love that album.
Yeah.
Plus by Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Like that's another one that like just like takes me back.
Yeah.
Dude, I do love some Joni Mitchell.
Mm.
Blue is probably in one of the top fives.
Mm-hmm.
I love Blue.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everyone does. So anyone who listens to me is going to be like,
no, it's okay. No.
There's
a reason why everybody loves
it,
though.
That's not unique.
Who cares?
So definitely 10 by Pearl Jam.
Okay.
All right. So that's got to be top five. So we've got Alanis. We've got Pearl Jam 10. I'm trying to think, man. I'm scrolling through.
There's just so many where it's like it feels wrong to not put like iconic albums in, but it's like, I don't know. Because like if I was going to a desert island and I could only pick like 10 albums, like then I probably wouldn't pick like super iconic. Like, I wouldn't pick, like, the White Album. Like, that's a great album, no. But, like, I probably wouldn't pick it.
And then if I was, I'd have to bring, like, Enter the 36 Chambers Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay.
Like, that's, no, seriously.
You need some variety on the island.
But
yeah,
no, but that's, that album is, like, yes. You talk about a no-skip album. Yeah. Like, I don't know of another album that I can get through that no-skip. Yeah. And you know what? Not that this would make the top five, but the new album from the 1975, their newest album, the Being Funny in a Foreign Language, that one is a no-skip album. There's literally, for me, there's literally not a song on that album.
Is that your favorite 1975 album?
So far.
I'm
like,
sorry,
album.
But nothing will top their debut album for me.
Really?
I don't know. And I want something to, because I believe that they have better.
Yeah, and I've listened to them all front to back. Like,
yeah.
So right now, like, the 1975 is like my obsession.
Okay, period.
So yeah, just right now, like, it's all I want to listen to.
Yeah.
It's just like everything I like. And so, like, would you classify that as like singer songwriter folky? I would not, right?
It's a little bit out of lane for me. Synth wave.
Yeah. So, but what I love about it is it sounds so 80s.
Yes.
Like, their music, like,
and it's unique.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's
so, like,
so
it takes
bright
me back.
Colorful.
Like, yeah, it takes me back to, like, oh, this is like fun 80s stuff.
Yeah.
This is the stuff that, like, if MTV was still playing videos.
It's true.
You'd see these, like, and this is the sound. So, but yeah, that new album for me is a no-skip album. So,
it is pretty good.
What else you got, girlfriend?
Oh, God, I don't even know. Oh, I do have a Taylor Swift question.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a lot of Swiftie friends, so I need to ask you. In Champagne Problems, when she says, "How evergreen our group of friends, don't think we'll say that word again," what word is that? What is she saying? What word is she referring to?
Okay, so, "How evergreen our group of friends..." Don't think
we'll say that word again. Is the word evergreen or
friends.
Our or
I think friends?
Friends?
I think friends.
I think it's friends too.
I think the theme of that song is that this is a relationship gone bad.
It's now we will never be friends.
And now
again.
And so just like with what, not, I don't want to say every, but with a lot of like separations, divorces, breakups, you choose sides.
Yep.
And so evergreen, meaning this group of friends will never go bad. Like we'll
it
never.
It could be group of friends. Like the whole phrase, group of friends. Like
cause, evergreen, our group of friends will never say those words again. I think it's friends. I think we're just never going to be friends
too.
Again. And then they all kind of look at her and go, you know, she's effed in the head.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then at the end, like the guy finds another girl who's going to repair her, his tapestry. So it's like, I just feel like they're never going to be
friends
again.
Too.
Yeah.
And people think it's evergreen. I think it's, if it's not friends, maybe it's our, like the joint word of our, like we will never share anything again, however green our group of friends, but I do think it's friends.
Yeah. I just think that they're not friends anymore. I think that the breakup was
so
embarrassing and messy.
The families took sides.
Yep. The friends took sides.
Yeah, everyone
like the college
was like,
kids.
She's messed up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And they all started to kind of trash her.
Yep. I agree.
Good.
Great.
We agree.
Yep. I'm so happy. Yes. I've always wondered that. And on that note, do you have a question? If you could meet Taylor again today, do you, and you could ask her a question, do you have a question that you're just dying to know?
No,
her?
No. I feel like,
I
honestly, I feel like she's lived her life as much as I'm concerned. Cause I, again, like I don't worship her or anything like that. I really respect what she's doing, but
me too.
There isn't anything very intimate that I care to know about
me
her.
Neither.
I don't care about her dating life. I'm
me
psyched
neither.
That she, I don't know if she still will be dating. I hope she will. The Travis Kelce fell out when this comes out. But
I know.
I don't care about that. Like, I just don't care about that. Like, I don't care about who you're dating or I don't care about, like, I want her to live her life.
Exactly.
Like, no.
She doesn't care about who we're dating. Doesn't matter. Like, I don't know. I always think about that. And I think about, because there's a lot of people that I admire and I would meet them. I would love to meet them. But then I always think, like, what would I even say? Like, what would I say that these people haven't heard before?
I've met a lot of celebrities and I tend to just say, like, whatever's on my mind. And a lot of times I'm like, you know, it's the Gemini in me. I always like think like, man, that was stupid. I could have been so much cooler. I could have played that so much cooler. But again, like, there's nothing they haven't heard or anything
it's
like
so
that.
It's so true.
And honestly, like, I would probably just want to give Taylor a hug. I feel like she probably doesn't live a normal life and she probably regrets that. Like,
I
can't imagine. Like, we were just watching, you know, Ed Sheeran's been doing a lot of like publicity and like, you know, meeting people and you know, this new album, he performed it in everyone's living room.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I did.
So this new album, he just released it and then he released it again 2 days later and it's all the songs but performed in different living rooms.
So
Elise and I, my wife, were having a conversation like, could Taylor do these things? And I said, yes, she could. I don't think she's
so hard.
I don't think if Ed Sheeran can go out in the middle of Times Square and perform a show, right? And not a show, like two or three songs, right? Or he can show up outside his concert and hand out like hot sauces and stuff like that. Why couldn't Taylor do it? Ed Sheeran is—he's breaking attendance records. He's clearly as big as Taylor Swift is.
Do you think it's because Taylor is like a pop star?
Well, my wife argues that Ed is from England and maybe that he couldn't do these things in England.
That's very true because paparazzi is a totally different thing overseas.
But also it's worse here. Like they're more aggressive and dangerous here.
Yes,
but,
yes, yes.
But so she's like, well, maybe he just isn't as recognized. And I was like, no, he's Ed Sheeran. He's recognized here. Yeah. So I think it's a conscious decision that she makes. And so what I feel bad is that she clearly feels like she can't go out and live a regular life. Like, for example, she goes to, you know, what's his name that produced her record? She goes to his wedding. And like it, and she just shows up to the rehearsal dinner. It becomes a, and maybe that's why maybe Ed Sheeran's fans are more respectful than Taylor Swift's fans.
Maybe.
But that's what I would do. If I met Taylor, I would just hug her and be like, I'm sorry, you can't be a human being.
Man, I think that's all I got.
Yeah, I have fun. I love this. I've been looking forward to this for months, ever since you put this together.
I listened to them.
I loved all of the Taylor Swift ones. I love the one you did with your mom. I love the one you did with your dad because, you know, I know your mom from high school, and I just recently met your dad, but I got to really know them listening to it. Like, your dad's interview was really, really good.
Yeah, they both did a really great job.
Yeah, your mom was fun. I knew a lot about your mom already, so it was not as enlightening as, like, your dad and, like, his work and stuff like that, and then kind of, like, his path to Texas and all that cool stuff.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, so I like that one, and then I love listening to all your little friends you're doing. This thing is really, really cool, and you got the best little setup.
I know, it's pretty cute. It's easy to transfer all around.
I imagine it was going to be like two iPhones. Like, and I was like, no, man, this is good stuff.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on. I'll come back for season two when you get around to it.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Love you, Ella. Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.